Good morning. How is everybody doing this morning? Have you had a perfect day so far? No. Some of you said yes, yeah, some of you said no. You know, how many of you this morning, I mean, everything is going good and something happened to cause you to lose your temper this morning? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. I just want to know, how many of you usually in a week's time, or even in a day's time, do you lose your temper? You get angry. Don't raise your hand, I said. Put your hand down. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I remember my dad. He seemed to be angry a lot. I mean, it just seemed like to me that he was a walking piece of anger every time I saw him. And, you know, I couldn't understand it, but it was fueled by alcohol. So when he was gone most of the time during the week out of town working, but when he came home on the weekends, I wanted to be glad that my dad was coming home and I got to see him and talk to him, but I didn't want to have to deal with the anger because I knew that somewhere that weekend, I was going to do something wrong, and I was going to get a butt whooping, and I mean sometimes more than one. And it was not that I didn't deserve to get one. It's just that I had this fear of having to walk around my dad like I was walking on eggshells. I didn't know what it was that was going to set him off, whether it's reaching down and grabbing the wrong tool and handing to him. It could be just anything. But as a child, I learned by that example. And me and my brothers and sisters, we were that way. We learned to have what a lot of people call a short fuse. I mean, it didn't take much to set me off. I went through my teenage years, and in the first part when I got married, Claudia and I got married, those years I spent time with this anger problem. I went to a pastor. It got so bad that I felt like that I was mimicking my dad. I wasn't anything but just him. And I said, there's got to be a better way to react, to talk to people. So I went to the pastor and I said, and I didn't even want to go to the pastor of the church I was attending. I went to another friend of mine that was recommended, and he was an older gentleman that had retired from the ministry. I laugh at that. There's no such thing as retiring from doing God's work. But he had stopped preaching full time. And I explained my situation to him. I gave him my life story as quick as I could. And he kind of got up on the edge of a seat and he looked at me and he said, son, because I was a young man, he said, let me tell you, he said, did you realize that anger is a sin? And I said, no, not really. He said, anger is the one thing when you throw it out there, when you open up that can of worms, you can't bring it back. It has a lasting effect. It lasts for a long time. And he said, you're going to have to confess that. And start changing the way that you talk. Start changing the way you react. He says, you need to start counting before someone says something to you. You need to start going 1,000, 2,000. It was just about the only thing I could do because, boy, I always had something to say, come back on. You know, it hurts not just yourself. He made this statement. He says, when you lose your anger, even when you think it's justified from another person that's done you wrong, he said, you think I have just justified myself, I have defended myself, but in actuality, everyone that's around you, son, thinks bad of you, not the other person. They think, man, that poor guy, he can't control himself. And I got to thinking about that over and over. It makes us look like the bad guy. We can't say, well, I was born this way. That's what I used to say. I say, well, you know, I've always been this way. My daddy was like that. His daddy was like that. I come by it honestly. But God showed me different. You know, when you're born with something like your hair and you lose it, that's one thing. Your nose, all these things, you can't help what you get when you're born. If you're a young man and you don't have any hair, you can't help that. If you got a big nose like mine, can't help that. That's just the way it was. Got big ears? Well, no problem, but that's the way you are. But having an anger problem, that's not something that God gave you. God gave you those other things, big hands, big feet, different things like that. But he didn't give you an anger problem. Ask yourself, am I an angry person? Do I have trouble with my mouth? A lot of people say, you know what, I wished I had a zipper that I could just go and just not have to worry about what's coming out. But we don't. But we can stop ourselves, I guess, by putting our hand over our mouth. But do you avoid being around certain people because of the fear that they're going to go off on you, they're going to be angry with you? Are you that person? Do you see people this way? You know, everyone gets angry sometimes. Sometime it's going to inevitably happen. But how you react when someone tries to get you angry is what makes the difference in your Christian walk. Let's look at Ephesians 4:26 through 27. Let's see what God's word has to say about anger, starting in 4:26. It says, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." And picking up again in 31, it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander," and slander as well as "all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ forgives you." You know, some of the trail mates that go along with anger is that you can't get away from. They ride with you if you have this problem. One of them is bitterness. The other one is rage, slander, malice. And the number one thing seems to always come out, it's always blaming the other person. That's what I did. I always blame the other person for making me mad. I said, well, you know, if they just hadn't have done this, if they just hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have lost my temper. All these things working has an effect on your anger. One of the things I knew that I had when I realized I had a problem with it is that it was destroying me mentally. And it was working on my spiritual part of my life. Because at the time, I was a deacon when all this was going on. I was a servant of the church. I was serving the Lord. And people would look at me and they'd go, you know, man, you're a deacon. Why do you act that way? I didn't really have an excuse for some of the things I do. But I would see other deacons and I saw their anger and the Lord convicted me. And I was real quick to point out theirs. If I saw them doing something, I'd go, oh boy, that guy shouldn't have lost his cool. He shouldn't have lost his temper. I was real quick to do that. But when it came to myself, I showed grace. I gave myself grace. So, oh, well, you know, I didn't really mean to do that. And the people don't see that. The Bible says that we need to put it off and take it off like a coat. Something that we have to discard and get rid of. That's what the scripture says. But how do you do that? That was one of the things that when I was talking to the preacher, I said, well, just how do you throw off something that's become a lifelong habit with me? He said, first, you got to admit you got a problem. It's kind of like being an alcoholic. Alcoholics will drink till the day they die, till they figure out they have a problem, and then they can stop. Once they realize they have a problem, that it's actually affecting their life, then they want to change something, then they can change. It's the same thing with being an angry type person. You have to admit you have a problem, confess it to God, and ask Him to help you rid it from your life, to help you throw it off, to get rid of it. You know, it's kind of anger is kind of like a venom. It's kind of like poison. It kind of sprays out there, and it kind of gets people. It gets all over them. As I was praying about this the other day, I was out feeding my horse, and I was praying about this message, and I smelt something funny. I did. I smelt something. I went, what is that? That's a skunk. I can smell a skunk. He's been around here somewhere. Instantly, it come to me through the Holy Spirit. Anger's like a skunk. If you don't remember anything about this message, remember this part now because it's important. Remember the word that I read, but remember this part. Anger is like a skunk. When it comes around, everybody gives it a wide berth. Because why? Yeah, they stink. But what are they afraid of? What are you afraid of when you see a skunk? You're afraid to get hit. You're afraid to get sprayed with all that stink. Because what happens when you get sprayed? It's not something that you can't get rid of easy. People say, oh, you can use tomato, you know, tomato juice. No, I'm telling you, once you get sprayed, you stink. You're going to stink. The dog ain't even going to want to be around you. Your best friend, your dog, he's going to just, whoa. He's going to shy away from you. Your horse don't even want you to ride him. He's curling his lip up like, ooh, what is that? You know what I'm talking about. Skunk, getting sprayed with a skunk is bad. And it don't matter who is standing around, everybody's going to get some on them. Because he's an equal opportunity sprayer. Once that tail goes up, it's like a shotgun blast. Poof, everybody's going to get it. If you're in a situation where folks are around and you lose your temper, guess what? You're like a skunk, because everybody that's within hearing distance is going to be affected by that stink. You're going to be affected by it, and it isn't easily washed off. It's got to wear off. It takes sometimes when anger comes, and especially in, I've seen it in families a lot of times, between a brother and a brother, or a brother and a sister, or something. They make a comment or they get mad. And it lasts for the rest of their life. They never speak to each other. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, families like that. Hate is like that. Hate can cause, anger I'm talking about, can cause this kind of destruction, this kind of problems in your life. It's like a skunk spray. It just keeps on hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. It's like I said, like a venom. And it's a problem that a lot of us have. Even the best of us. Myself, I'm not talking I'm the best of us. I'm saying even the best of y'all. I know I have this problem I have to deal with. But you may look like the most model citizen. You may think of yourself as being the most model Christian that's out there. Everyone should aspire to be like you. Paul used to make this comment. And, you know, and I like Paul. I love him. But sometimes he would say, you know, why don't you just act like I do? You know, just follow me and see what I do. And follow. Well, I'm telling you, don't follow me in everything I do, because if you get your eyes on me instead of Jesus, what's going to happen? You're going to stumble. You're going to fall down. Don't keep your eyes on the elders either. Or the team leaders. Don't do that. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He will always, through the power of the Holy Spirit, direct your path. He'll never cause you to stumble. But if you look at people, people will cause you to stumble. He calls for us, though, to do one thing. He said, instead of being like a skunk, that's a paraphrase, the scripture says, be kind to each other. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Don't let anger control your life. Losing your temper hurt other folks. Hurt not only your spouse. Might have happened this morning. Husbands, you bound to have said something this morning that ticked your wife off. I don't know. Wife might have said something to tick your husband off. I don't know. But it's a choice we have to make when someone comes to us to offend us, and there's the word, when we get offended. It's a choice whether we're going to get mad or we're going to give them grace. We're going to show love and compassion to them. Which would you rather receive if you were the one causing it? If you were the stinker, if you was that skunk, what would you rather see? Would you rather somebody give you grace and say, it's okay, I understand you're having a bad day, I'm not going to be offended by what you're saying to me? Or would you rather hit you upside the head with a 2x4? Not that that's a good thing either, but it's happened. Let love control us, not anger. You know, if you let love have its way. I had a brother said something about, if I could just bring the name of Jesus to my mind. I heard that just this week. I thought, he has no idea what the message is for today. He had no idea. But he said, if I could just think about Jesus, maybe I could curb what was fixing to happen. Maybe things would be different. Let love control you, not anger. Don't react to people. Love people. That's what the scripture says. To show them grace, to forgive each other. How do you stop showing anger? How do you stop losing your temper? It's kind of like drinking. You just stop. You just stop. You just stop. I'm not going to do that anymore. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can change the way that you live. It can make you into a different person. It can make you into a type of person that people want to be around. And they want to be like, you know, I've never seen that person lose their temper. All they do is walk around with a godly smile on, no matter what you say to them. I'd rather be one of those, wouldn't you? I'd rather be one of those folks. And I'm not there yet. I'm not saying I am, but that's what I strive to be. Because that's the way Jesus was. When he walked on this earth, he was like a magnet. It was like a love magnet. Everybody wants to be loved. He was walking love on this earth. And people just flocked to him because of that. Because they said, I don't know what it is about this man, but I would love to be just like him. I want what he's got. Let love control us. And let it ooze out and affect everybody. If you're going to be a skunk, this is what I wish. Don't you wish that skunks had a pretty perfume that they put out? You know, they spray and you go, whoo, doggy, that smells good. I wish he would have got a little closer to me and just kind of sprayed my whole house. Kind of refreshes everything. But unfortunately, skunks, they stink. But if they could, that's the type of skunk I would want to be. I'd want to be one of those skunks that when they saw me coming across the pasture, they go, "Woo-wee! Hey, I need to get my," and they run to it. Get your truck and run over there just so they can spray your truck. You don't have to sanitize it that week. You know, them things you hang inside the air freshener, you know, because your truck stinks? Well, mine does anyway. Let love be the one thing in your life that controls you. Let love be the thing. If you're going to spray anything, spray love on folks. Let them know when they get around you that you're the most important thing. It's like they hadn't seen you in years, and they have time all day long just to spend with you and hear every story you got to tell. We don't have nobody like that in the church that likes to tell stories, I know. But there are folks that just love to tell stories. And you just want to be that person to just sit there and let them think you got all day long. They're that important. Amen? Wouldn't you like to be one of those? I know I do. I want to be that kind of a man to where that God can use me to spread love. If we're going to do one, if we had a goal in our life, and this is my goal, is to let love be the ultimate control of my life. Let the Holy Spirit control everything I do. It's worth it, y'all. It's worth it. Because people will all of a sudden start calling you on the phone and want to spend time with you. They just want to hear what you got to say. They'll come seek you out for your advice. It's amazing when you start loving folks what happens. The scripture said, I'm going to read it one more time. Instead of all these things, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Let's pray. Woo! Lord, man, just coming into your presence this morning, just thank you for this day. Humbly ask you, Father, to be with everyone here, that the Holy Spirit would have his perfect work in our lives, that, Father, we would yearn and seek after you. We would seek your wisdom. We would seek all the qualities that you have, Lord. We ask for those this morning. Peace, hope, and love, and grace and forgiveness. Father, I just lift everyone up and just ask you, Father, to give them a blessing for being here. If you've talked to someone this morning, you've been talking to me all week, but Father, if you're talking to someone this morning that needed to hear this message, Father, I just pray you'd have its perfect work, that they would seek you out and allow your perfect grace and your forgiveness to change their life, to change the way that they are, to make us more and more like you every day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And thank you so much for shedding your blood on the cross, for our salvation, for washing us clean. If there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, they never accepted that free gift of salvation, of eternal life. Let them not leave, Lord. Don't let them get out of this barn before they talk to someone about receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your many blessings. Help everyone to get home safely, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being here at Common Ground Cowboy Church this week, this morning. If you're looking for a church home, I pray that you would consider Common Ground Cowboy Church. How many of y'all got a chance to tour the building back there? Is that not a blessing to see what God is doing? Amen? If you get a chance to go back there, you need to just look at it. We're getting real close to the point to where that the kids are going to be able to go out and get to use those rooms. It's such a blessing to see God work and God move in his folks. All the ones that God has helped to make this possible, I want to say thank you. I hope you have a great week. I pray wherever God sends you this week, that whatever trail you go down, that he'll be with you and he'll protect you and keep you and bring you back next Sunday. God bless you.